The text for our meditation this morning is a portion of the Old Testament lesson appointed to be read for Palm Sunday. It is from the 9th chapter of the book of Zechariah. We read there the 9th verse. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey. First of all, it needs to start with bravado. You know what I mean by bravado? That bold courage type of a stance that an individual takes from time to time, or that an individual exhibits when confronted with some crisis, some bravado, somebody to step forward and stand boldly with courage. That's what it starts with. This whole thing that the scriptures talk about anyway is salvation, that the world indeed has its own idea and definition of what that salvation it is. To bring about salvation, the world says your first step is some bravado. Somebody, some group maybe, to stand up, take up the cause and boldly forge ahead. To do what? To change things. That for many people is salvation in a nutshell. A change for the better. It will vary, of course, from region to region, from culture to culture. But that's really what salvation is for many people. For some, it may mean someone or some group to step forward and overthrow some unwanted regime, some unwanted government of some kind, some dictator. Overthrow them, get rid of them. There was much of this idea in Jesus' own day with the group called the Zealots, of course, who sought to overthrow the Roman government. It's always been around, this whole idea of salvation. And those here, of course, are looking for salvation in our own country and in our own culture. Maybe not in the overthrow of a government, although there have been accusations of that here recently. But certainly in the overcoming of, let's say, oppression, the overcoming of inequality, inequality in economics, in gender, in pay scale. Things got to change. There's got to be some salvation. There's got to be some movement in a better direction. And that's with salvation in everybody's mind. It is always in a better direction. Now, there are many, many, particularly Central American countries who follow a certain type of Christianity, if you will. And they talk a lot about salvation. Salvation for them is release from oppression, from the government that is keeping people under its thumb. And that's all they mean when they talk about salvation. Zechariah tells the people of God this morning that their king is coming to them. Here's the one. This king talk throughout the Old Testament always pointed to, ultimately, to the coming Messiah. The one who, as Zechariah even tells us, is going to bring, here's that word again, salvation. And that's what the people in Jesus' day had in mind, of course, with him. Here was the one with the spunk. Here was the one with that bravado that is needed. Here's the one who will stand up to oppression and inequality. Isn't that what he talked about in all of his teachings? And boy, did they place their hopes in him. Here's the one who's going to release us from those hated Romans. This is him. And when he arrives in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, there was that fervor, at least in his own followers. There was that fervor that had been building up and building up and building up. Jesus himself had been talking about something's going to happen when we get to Jerusalem. And now the day was here. They had arrived in Jerusalem, and now they're beginning their shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, which translated from Hebrew simply means, Lord, save now. Save now. Ah, salvation was on their minds. As it is on the minds of many, even in our day and age. And that word is certainly on the minds of God's people today. Because Zechariah tells us, this king is coming with salvation. Salvation from ill health. Salvation from poor finances. Salvation from distress, from disappointment, from hurt. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. He's bringing salvation on a donkey? On a beast of burden? Not on some triumphant steed? He's not shouting threats. He's not shouting political phrases. He's not shouting anything about release from oppression, about release from dictatorships, about release from poor economies. He's humble, lowly, depending upon God for all things. And he brings a totally and completely different message of salvation to the world. For you see, Jesus' message was simply this. Mankind, the human race, is in a bind. Whether the people of the human race choose to believe in God or not, whether they just want to disavow him, not acknowledge him, not believe in him, doesn't change the fact that he's there. And it does not change the fact that he expects absolute perfection from each one of us. He's given his law, we know what he wants, and there isn't a single one of us that keeps it. And we can't get off the hook by saying, well, God, I tried. Because God comes and says, you will be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. There, you see, is the standard. And as I used to tell kids in confirmation class, I used to ask them the question, how many pinpricks does it take to burst a balloon? Just one. And if God demands perfection for entry into heaven, for salvation, is just one pinprick perfection? You've ruined the whole balloon. And Jesus said as much. If you offend at least in just one point, you're guilty of the whole thing. Mankind is in quite a bind. Mankind, you see, cannot in any way, shape, or form be good enough for heaven. God knows that. And God loved the human race so much, his creation, that he decided he was going to carry out a remedy. That remedy was his son. He sent his son to the world to do one thing, not to relieve oppression, not to make the economy good, not to give me the home of my dreams. He came to make reparation, to repair the breach that was made by mankind between himself and God by his sin. That's what Good Friday is all about. The salvation, you see, that Jesus Christ brings is not the salvation the world looks for, thinks about, maybe even longs for. It is the salvation that comes through sin forgiven, perfection given, entry into heaven open, eternal life with God in heaven forevermore. That is the salvation he came to bring, because that is what God calls salvation. Zechariah saw it, and he says, "Behold, look, your king's coming, and he's bringing salvation with him." But he's humble, and he's riding on a donkey. You better check your idea of salvation. Amen.